Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please visit and go to newhopecommunitychurch.podomatic.com or listen on iTunes. Pastor Mike's message, book chapter 7, verse 1, protective. The title of the message today is Protective Eyewear. In fire training, all my teachers told me, wear protective eyewear. They showed us pictures where many firemen were not wearing the proper protection, where a fireman was cutting with a chainsaw, where a fireman was cutting metal, and they all were not wearing some kind of eye protection, because in both the physical and spiritual situations, we can end up with a plank in our own eye. We come to this beautiful section, and it's one to teach people some serious stuff. Jesus, more than miracles and healings, desires people to hear and be saved. He desired people to grow and be discipled. This was greater than any temporary miracle. Jesus taught them about brokenness and how to live and be meek throughout, the differences of keeping the law and looking at our conditions, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, being genuine unlike the hypocrites, comparisons on how to be genuine and not a hypocrite, and also how God will take care of you if you lean on Him, which leads me to a story. This is also the favorite scriptures of non-believers. I was just reading Facebook posts on WPXI about a woman selling and buying drugs with her kids in the car, and the most used words that were in that news feed were these verses that we're going to talk about today. They were justifying her doing it by saying she was a single mom, she needed money, or some other excuses, but the main focus was not to judge her for selling drugs and buying them with her kids in the car. You don't know her situation. I do know this person does not know God, because God promises to take care of us, not by breaking the law and selling drugs. We do need to rely on Him fully. He talks to them about having a judgmental attitude. Jesus drew lines between people who live their lives a certain way and how they should live. That's what the Word does. He's talking not about being judgmental in those things of 5 and 6. He tells us to be genuine, because the unbelievers will not seek genuineness. He's saying don't be judgmental in those things, and there are two sides to this. There's no chapter break. Ready? Matthew 7 verse 1 says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. The favorite verse of backsliders. What is saying here? The one side, we can be too judgmental, forgetting about God's grace. There is no one we can look at and even look at their behavior and detest it so deeply and also recall, except for God's grace, we could be doing the same exact things. So on one side, He doesn't want us to cultivate a judgmental attitude within the body of Christ. That's not what He's encouraging us to do. The other side, though, sometimes the body of Christ can be atrophied. They can be stagnant because it's not willing to call anyone on the carpet for any kind of unspiritual behavior. We don't have to judge, because the scriptures judge and make things clear. We look at what is going on in the church today, and there are congregations scratching their heads and not knowing what is right or wrong because they're not learning it in the Bible. That's why God put it down in black and white, so we can read it and wouldn't be confused about it. Remember, we do not judge, the scriptures judge. That job is not ours. We present judgment through the Word in love to the Christian. Sin is sin in the spiritual man, who discerns all things. The Bible says we should not judge righteous judgment. 1 Corinthians 6 says we are allowed to judge Christians. When we have an issue, we show people using Scripture if they're willing to listen. I repeat, you share verses with them, and they are unwilling to listen. So the Bible does not say we are not to be discerning, thinking, or judging. What it is saying is don't pass final judgment on someone. Don't go to gossip. Don't just listen to the other side of the story, because there are always two sides to the story, and there is always something going on. So when we care about someone, we go before them and we in love share with them, and they are contrary to Scripture. We go to other believers and ask them to look at the Scriptures and pray about the situation if they are willing to listen. Judgment is a boomerang, and you set the standard and people will hold us to that standard. Verse 2, for in the same way you judge others, you too will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. The favorite verse of a misbeliever, disbeliever Bible. He says we're either being too judgmental and forgetting God's grace. There's no one we can look at. There's no behavior too crazy. There's no evil that we can look at and say, Lord, be accept your grace. I could be doing the same exact thing. He doesn't want us to cultivate a judgmental attitude in the body of Christ. On the other side, the body of Christ can be passive because they don't call anyone on the carpet, especially when they're going against Scripture. And honestly, the Scripture judges what people do not us. We see not what's going on in the church and people scratching their heads because they aren't looking at the Scriptures and knowing what is really right or wrong. Sin is sin. Jesus also says in John chapter 7, 24, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. We are to judge people if we are believers. 1 Corinthians 6 even says, I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? So there are times we are called to judge. We are to be thinking, discerning, and judging. There are two sides to every story, and we are not to make a final judgment, gossip about it, and put everything in craziness, and I've been guilty of this. In service, we want to use discernment. We want to go to people and correct, rebuke, and not be critical and gossip and mock. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Judgment is a boomerang, it says here, and then people who hold us to that same standard. Be careful of a critical attitude. Also, we must understand judgment is external. We tend to judge based upon external things. That is in our nature. We look at someone, and as we see them, we krinos judge them. I have even been guilty of this myself. You base a person on the fact that they cut you off in traffic. You define a person based on what they post on Facebook when Facebook is external, because I've had it happen several times. You write something on Facebook that is emotional, you desire to help or touch someone's heart, and when someone reads it, they're experiencing different emotions that day, and take it way out of context. I develop these relationships on Facebook, but get in front of someone and see their face when you speak to them. See their reaction, hear the voice and how it is portrayed. Being only external is dangerous, and you need to be careful of that when you're doing that on social media, especially. Verse 3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? The important is it's a brother's eye. It's a Christian's eye. People know the plank over the speck. Remember, there are people out there who don't care about the Bible. They don't care about what Jesus says about marriage. They don't care what Jesus says about, you know, other things that are going on, adultery, sin, whatever it may be. They don't care to hear what God has to say. They just want to do what they want to do. And we're talking about a Christian here, someone who cares about what God has to say. Not someone who is walking in sin and is not saved. The important part here is the brother's eye. People notice the plank over the speck. The brother or sister, because they are a believer, not an unbeliever. Verse 4, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You want to help. The eye is extremely sensitive, and a speck or plank would make you extremely sensitive. The beam is the judgmental attitude. The plank and the speck are made out of the same stuff. The Lord is using divine humor here, because one man has a splinter and another has a long thing sticking out of his eye. Jesus was a carpenter who had specks of sawdust in his eye. We are all made of the same stuff. Those things are made of the same stuff. both need to enter the kingdom of heaven the same way, because we're brothers and sisters and we aren't eye doctors. We're not to worry about the person's eye. Don't be worried about them. You're trying to remove specks as you turn your head and knocking people out with the log in yours. Verse 5, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. The eye is sensitive, and I believe Jesus uses it as an example for that reason. Get the speck in your eye, and that is annoying and painful. The speck and the log are made out of the same material. That's the point. Our sins look worse on somebody else, especially if they're getting away with it. The Lord is using humor. Because as a man with a creative mind, if you see somebody running around with a bat sticking out of their eye and they're beating someone with it as they're trying to remove a speck, it's experiential here, as Jesus was a carpenter. He probably had many specks in his eye. We use protective eye equipment nowadays. All you need is someone with a bat sticking out of their eye attempting to pull a speck out of a really sensitive part of your area, especially the eye. It is our Father's kingdom. We are brothers and sisters, and we are called to be eye doctors, not eye pokers like the Three Stooges. Verse 6, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Don't be judgmental yet. Look out for pigs and dogs. You are not a dog or a pig, because if you're saved, you're a sheep. Dogs and pigs are not brothers and sisters here, and that's essential. You go share the Bible with a dog or a pig, they're not going to listen. You share it with a sheep, and they are. They're not going to be like, well, the Bible's, you know, and I've heard this before. Well, you know, everything's not about the Bible, and you need to look at life and how culture is and how this is and how, okay, well, that shows me that you're a dog or a pig. You're not a sheep. Dogs and pigs are not brothers and sisters here. And that's the essential part. We're not talking about a brother. In the family of God, we need to see them restored. Pigs and dogs are not in the family. Sheep can be restored. Outside the body of Christ and those without him, you definitely know when you're around them, because if you show them scripture, they turn away from it. They don't want to listen to it. They don't care about what the Bible says. Peter says in 1 Peter 2, of them, of the Proverbs are true, a dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. In other words, someone who's being a Christian and then goes back to their old wicked ways isn't really a Christian. They're just pretending to be. The context is those who impersonate believers. If the body of Christ is a place where we help each other, we want to note this. We attempt to make the church an environment where people can be healed, they can be vulnerable, they can be open and honest about their feelings, they can lower their defenses. But it is also an environment that will attract wolves or unbelievers or those who think that they are and they aren't, or those who pretend to be, who will come out and take advantage and bully due to that openness. There has to be discernment, and Jesus does not say in Matthew 10 later, I'm sending you out, he says, like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Don't give unholy people kingdom stuff. If you tell somebody Bible scripture and they're a dog or a pig, they're not going to want to listen. God has given us pearls of wisdom. You can't explain to a misbeliever or a disbeliever the things of the kingdom. They can't comprehend them. We have a certain language. It's English, but we understand it. See, a great example of this was Jimmy Carter years ago. He was interviewed by Playboy magazine. In the article, he said he struggles with lust. Now they took it like pigs and dogs and they trampled it under their feet because they didn't understand kingdom language. Carter admitted in an unsolicited comment to two Playboy freelance writers that he had looked on a lot of women with lust. He had committed adultery in his heart. strange revelations all the more damaging because they appeared in a soft porn magazine. You see, Jimmy Carter was speaking family stuff, Christian stuff. He was talking Christianese. He was talking Bible. I struggle with lust in my heart. Well, you give it to a non-believer, and they're going to trample it. We need to be careful how we speak to the unbelieving world. You can't use words like the spiritual world and spiritual warfare. I speak in spiritual languages called tongues. God healed in those days and he heals today. God speaks to me. God's spirit spoke to me about this. God intervenes in my life and he directs it for me. Unbelieving people in and out of the church believe that you're nuts. Jesus just talked to them about it, and the message to the non-believing world is Jesus saves. Not when you look at a woman with lust, you commit adultery. Those with his spirit understand what the former president meant, but a non-believer doesn't. Even if you call them a pig or a dog, they're not going to know what you mean. A Christian does, but they don't. I have a prayer hit list. I pray for certain people on that hit list. I once said on Facebook, I have a prayer hit list, and people who did not understand prayer trampled it under their feet like pearls. Broken. One person thought I was going to kill them. You see, my prayer hit list is for people to get saved or changed, and I'm on top of the prayer list. But to dogs and pigs, they like to trample what I said because they're not kingdom-minded. We speak Christianese, spiritual warfare, security, predestination, the body of Christ, the rapture. The spiritual, God spoke to me, and they hear it, and they think you're a local nutcase. How do we get through all this? Because I want to be discerning, I don't want to be judgmental, so how do I do that? How do I genuinely remove the speck so they can see clearly? I want to recognize false prophets and those. How do I recognize them? Pray, be discerning, challenging towards someone. I don't want to be judgmental. A desire to remove specs so they can see clearly without me having an attitude about it. I want to recognize phonies too. When you're judging with scripture, use eye protection. When removing sawdust, remember to remove the own planks from your own eye. And I'm always praying that. Lord, when I'm praying for this person, I pray, Lord, I see that they are screwing up, that they're making huge mistakes. And Lord, if I am doing the same things, please help me to see that. First, remember when you rebuke or correct in love, you may get verses from the backslider's Bible. Don't judge me. It says in the Bible, do not judge. He who has sinned, cast the first stone. The word judges, not us. Use scripture. If you're trying to correct your spouse about marriage, use scripture. If they're not saved, you can't use scripture because they're not going to listen to it. If you're trying to change your friends, use scripture. If you talk to friends that don't know anything about scripture, expect them to trample it. The word judges, not us. Judgment is a boomerang, so we need to judge correctly. If you judge incorrectly, it's going to come back to bite you. And you need to be very careful about that. We need to judge in love. We don't judge to prove that we're better than somebody. We choose to judge them because we want to see them reconcile with God. Verse 6, be careful not to correct using Christianese. Don't be like, well, you know, you're going to miss the rapture if you don't get right with God. People be like, what the heck's the rapture? Keep things simple. And I'm telling you this is really important. You're going to have friends. You're going to have family. You're going to have even those closest to you. Sometimes we marry somebody and, you know, they get saved and then you're walking with them and then they revert back to their old ways or they revert back to something different. And you are walking with God and you're trying to help them. I'm telling you this right now. You try to share scripture with them. You try to tell them the Bible. You try to say what's right about marriage, what's right about salvation, what's right about family, what's right about what they're doing wrong, what's right about sin. And guess what? They're not going to hear you. It's not going to matter. Because they're not walking with God. If you're going to a sheep and you say to that sheep what you're doing is wrong, and let me show you where it's wrong, let me just show you, because I love you, and what I see, and that's the problem, is that we, you know, I love people, you know, I love my family, I love my church family, I love people in the community. And I want them to know Jesus, and I want them to see the Bible, and I want them to understand how much eternal things matter. But sharing the Bible with them, and scripture, and, you know, if they're a Christian brother or sister, yeah, you know, they're going to hear that, and they're going to be, wow, you know, I need to change that in my life about my marriage. I need to change that in my life about my family. I need to change that in my own personal life and what I'm doing wrong. You share that with a pig or a dog or someone who doesn't care about scripture. You know, and Jesus was the one who compared them. It's either pigs or dogs or sheep. You know, I'm just using what Jesus said. They're not going to listen to you, and they're not going to care. They're not going to care about that. They're not going to care about if they're doing something wrong in their marriage. They're not going to care about if they're doing something wrong, if they're living with somebody and they're not even married, or they're fornicating or adultery, or they're lying constantly. And honestly, you know, that's something that I shouldn't care about either. Because that's God's place to judge. You see, one day I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to be judged. My family's not going to be with me. My friends are not going to be there with me. My wife isn't going to be even there with me. It's going to be between me and God. And I'm going to be judged based upon my own salvation and what I did for Him. And they're going to be judged for what they did. And I won't be there with them. That's between them and God. So if your Christian brother or sister is sinning and doing wrong things, you need to help them. But I've seen it. Like, I've tried to share the Bible with non-believers, and they would look at me and say, well, you know, and I heard this recently this year too, all you do is you think about the Bible and you use the Bible to tell me stuff. You know, and the Bible's not the only book. And the Bible's not the only thing, factor in what I should do. And you should look at how the world sees things and how the world sees marriage or how the world sees this or that. And then I'm like, you know what? And then, you know, God points you to the scriptures that you need to read that week. And it says basically, like, you know, stuff like this. If you give it to them, they're going to trample all over it. Like pearls before swine. They're going to trample on it. So it's best not to share it with them. Don't even talk to them about the Bible. They don't need to hear it. Just pray for them in love. You know? Because we need to pray for the unsaved. We need to pray for the people who don't know the Bible. We need to pray for those people. Because we want dogs and pigs to become sheep. Let's pray. Lord, I just lift up each of us here, Lord, and we can get judgmental attitudes towards people. We can be judgmental towards people sometimes, Lord. So I pray, Father, that you would help us with that. Help me with that, Lord. That, Lord, help us to be able to not be judgmental. Lord, help us when someone in our lives who's a Christian brother or sister is not walking with you correctly, to be able to correct them in love, to help them to understand in love. So, Father, help them with that. You know, help us to walk with you and to understand your ways and to be who you desire us to be, Lord. And Lord, help us to be heavenly minded and earthly good. To to understand when we're ministering to an unsaved person and when we're ministering to a saved person. Help us to remember that. And I want to give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please visit and go to subscribe and listen by visiting newhopecommunitychurch.podomatic.com or listen on iTunes. Thank you very much. Have an awesome day in Jesus. And don't forget, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.